Mark chapter 5, verse number 21, the Bible says this, "And when Jesus was passed over, again by ship, unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard that Jesus came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 30, And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." This morning I want to talk to you for a few moments about a message that I've entitled, In Proximity to His Power. In Proximity to His Power. I read an article some years ago by Earl Nightingale, and he tells a true story of an African farmer who had heard of other farmers in Africa selling their farms and discovering diamond mines. So the farmer sold his farm, and he spent the rest of his life searching all over the African continent for diamonds, until finally, old, worn out, and broke, the farmer threw himself into a river and drowned in despair. Meanwhile, the man who bought his farm was crossing a stream on the property one day and saw a shiny rock at the bottom of the stream. He picked up the rock and dusted it off and looked at it a little bit and decided that it would be a good conversational piece, so he went home and placed it on his mantle. A few weeks later, a friend was visiting, and while the farmer was in the kitchen, the friend began to look around, and he spotted this stone, this rock, on the mantle, and he went up and began to investigate. And he began to look and turn the stone all different ways. The farmer walked back into the room, and his friend said to him, "Do you know what this is?" He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "That's a shiny rock that I found at the bottom of the stream down here on our property, and I thought it would just make a nice conversational piece." He said, "No, my friend, this is not a crystal. This is not a rock. This is a diamond." And it was one of the largest diamonds ever found recorded in human history. And he said, "Well, if that's a diamond," he said, "there's all kinds of rocks that look just like that in the bed of this creek right down here on our property." After further research, they went, and this creek bed became one of the largest diamond mines ever recorded on the African continent. Both farmers, the farmer who sold it and later drowned, and the farmer who bought it, both were in the same proximity of that wealth, but only one of those farmers obtained that wealth. And as we look here in Mark chapter number 5, we see a similar situation with the people who are in proximity to the power of God, but some failed to possess it. I fear that so many people in the world today live in close proximity to the power of God that can give them the peace and the joy and the hope and the salvation and the happiness that they desperately desire, but yet so few of them obtain it. It's not enough to be near the power of God. We must choose to accept it by accepting Jesus and asking Christ to come into our heart and transform our lives into what He has for us. And so this morning, I want us to look in this fifth chapter of Mark and look at a few things that God tells us in a message that I've entitled, In Proximity to His Power. The first group I want to look at is the multitude. If we look here in Mark chapter number 5, we find two different times that an expression is found. First, we find it in verse number 21. And it says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." We find the expression, "much people." Again, later on in this chapter in verse 24, it says, "And Jesus went with him, and again, much people followed him and thronged him." By the time we reach Mark chapter number 5 in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, his works and his miracles and his fame has been well documented, and people now, wherever he goes, are beginning to recognize him. And he's always surrounded by these large crowds, by these multitudes of people. And when these multitudes come, they want to do two things. The first thing they want to do is they want to be around him. The multitudes were around him. Notice again here in verse number 21, when Jesus gets off the ship. Now imagine just getting off of the ship. I mean, you've been traveling and now you get off the ship, and immediately as you get off the ship, notice what happens. It says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." It says that much people were gathered unto him. When Jesus gets off this ship, immediately people began to come around him. They wanted to see him. They wanted to see this man that worked these miracles. They wanted to hear his voice. They wanted to examine him. They wanted to analyze him. And they come at him much like people would today. If you were in an airport and you saw a celebrity or a sports figure walk out of the terminal, immediately people would throng to them. People would go running up because they just wanted to be around someone. So in the midst of these people, this multitude being around them, this man comes up. This man named Jairus, he's a ruler, and his daughter was about 12 years old, and she was very sick. And in the midst of this crowd of people around him, this man runs up and falls at his feet, and he begins to petition with the Lord Jesus to come and heal his daughter, who is deadly ill. And so Jesus decides to go with him. And then we see the second thing about the multitudes. The second thing we learn about the multitude is not only that they wanted to be around him, but secondly, we see that they accompanied him. Notice what the Bible says in verse 24. Jairus has come. He tells Jesus that he wants him to come. And then the Bible says in verse 24, "And Jesus went with him." But watch this next expression. "And much people followed him and thronged him." So these people not only come to Jesus the second he gets off the ship and begin to surround him, but now they hear this conversation about Jairus. They hear that Jairus' daughter is close to being dead and that she's got this great sickness. So Jesus begins to go, and the crowd says, "Well, we're going to go with you. We want to see him work a miracle. We've never seen anybody work a miracle. We've heard about it, but I bet he's going to go heal this daughter, this girl." And so they begin to follow him. The Bible actually uses the expression that they thronged him. That word "thronged" comes from the Greek word that means to press on all sides. So in your mind, as we think about what this is, and this is important to understanding the point I'm trying to make today with the message, Jesus is surrounded by people. This is kind of an illustration of what it may be like. You can see the man with the white tunic on his back is representative of Jesus, and you can see that people are all around him. This is an example of what a throng would be. He's got people all around him, and he's trying to walk, and you can imagine as he's just trying to make his way, trying to follow Jairus to his house, he's got people pressing on him, bumping into him all over as he simply tries to walk. The multitude of people, they desired to be around him, and they desired to be accompanying him wherever he went. They were shoulder to shoulder brushing up against the Lord Jesus Christ as he was going to work this miracle. So the multitude was around him, and the multitude was accompanying him. Then, as this throng is taking place, as they're on the journey to Jairus' house, we're introduced to another character. And the character that we're introduced to, secondly, is who I've named the maiden. The second person that we're introduced to, we've seen the multitude, but now we see a certain woman, as the Bible describes it. We see a certain maiden. And the Bible tells us three things about this maiden. The first thing it talks about is it talks about her demeanor. Now, we're not going to take time to walk through every bit of this passage of Scripture, but this woman was very different than the multitude that surrounded the Lord Jesus. The multitude was like a mob. The multitude was loud. The multitude may have been obnoxious. They were there trying to see a celebrity. Oh, did you see him? Oh, I can see him just a little bit. Oh, I got to brush up against him. And they're just a mob walking with him. This maiden was in a very different situation. She was weak. This maiden was not only weak, but she was most likely a quiet woman. She was poor. She'd spent all that she had on doctors and physicians trying to heal this issue of blood that she had had for many years in her life. So she spent everything she's got. She's sick, she's weak, she's poor, and she's also alone. The Bible doesn't record anyone else being around her. She didn't have a family member around her. She didn't have a friend up under her arm trying to help her. She's been sick for many years with no help from doctors. And she's at a place of desperation in her life. But we not only see her demeanor, but the second thing we see is we see her decision. This woman desires help. You know, there are people in the world who are sick who want no help. But there are people in the world who are sick and they desire to be made whole. They desire to be healed. This woman obviously had that desire because she'd spent everything she had on doctors and physicians trying to heal her. But she hears of Jesus and she had heard the miracles that Jesus had performed. And the Bible tells us in verse 27 of Mark chapter 5, it says, and when she had heard of Jesus, she heard Jesus was in the area. She comes in the press behind him. So as this group of people are walking, this massive group of people are walking, surrounding him, she, weak and feeble, makes her way up and she says, I'm going to make the decision that I'm going to try to come up behind him. I don't want him to see me. I don't want this to be a big issue. I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. I'm going to fight my way through the mob. And she says in verse 28, if I may just touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So this woman makes this decision to come up behind the Lord Jesus Christ and to reach out and to grab hold of his garment because she believes that he's so powerful, that he is the Son of God. If she can just touch the hem of his garment, that she may be healed. And that's what she does. And the Bible says in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And that's the third thing that we see is her deliverance. We see her deliverance. She's sick, she's weak, and she has a poor demeanor because she's depressed about her life. She hears Jesus is coming and makes the decision that if I can just fight through this crowd and just touch the hem of his garment, then I can be made whole. And she chooses to reach out and touch him, and when she does, immediately she is healed of her disease. What no doctor or any physician could do for her, Jesus does in an instant when she reached out and touched him. So this woman is healed of her sickness. And that leads us to our third point. And now we get really into the thought that I want to share with you today. The third thing I want you to see today is the mystery. The mystery. If you step back and look at this story, we've seen two different groups. We've seen a multitude of people that went to surround Jesus like he was a celebrity, that thronged him, that were pressing up against him, rubbing shoulders with him. And then we've seen an individual maiden, a woman who had nothing, had spent everything, and she reaches out and touches just the hem of his garment. And here's the mystery. And here's the question I want to pose to you today. How is it that this maiden comes into contact with Jesus and is healed immediately, but the multitude, when they come into contact with Jesus, the Bible records that nothing was done to them and none of them were healed or made whole? How is it that the multitude can brush up against Jesus? How is it that the multitude can be in contact with Jesus and nothing happens? But one woman reaches out and doesn't even touch his arm, doesn't even touch his flesh, but she just touches his garment. And immediately she's made whole. What's the difference? Why is it that one is healed and one is not? Remember, the multitude is obviously touching him. We look in this image, which is just an illustration, but you can imagine the multitude is brushing up against him. There are people in that multitude that are actually bumping into his flesh, maybe touching his hand, touching his arm. but they're not being made whole. They're not being healed of whatever infirmities that they may have. So why is it that this woman's touch was so different? Even the disciples, when Jesus asked the question in verse 30, he perceived, the Bible says that he perceived that virtue had gone out of him and turned him about. And in the press, he said, "Who touched my clothes?" And I love how the Bible is just so accurate and so clear. Jesus says, now remember, imagine this. Imagine you're one of the disciples walking with Jesus in a picture just like this. And Jesus stops and says, "Who touched my clothes?" Look what the disciples say in verse 31. And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me?" They said, "Lord, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's touching us. We're all bumping into each other because you're such a celebrity. Everybody wants to be around you, and you stop to ask us who touched you? How can we tell you who touched you when everybody's touching you?" But you see, something was different. Something was different when this woman reached out. So if the disciples are confused about it, and we look at it and we say, well, wait a minute, if you touch Jesus, then this woman was healed, but these people are touching Jesus and they're not healed. What's the answer? I believe the answer is this, that the multitude was just brushing up against him, but the woman touched him. See, preacher, aren't those the same thing? No, they're not the same thing. See, the multitude is there to see the show. The multitude wanted to be around Jesus because it was popular. The multitude desired to be in contact with him, and their contact with him was casual and unintentional. But the maiden, when she reached out with a purpose and a desire to receive healing and help from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you look at this word that's used here, the word that's touched in verse 28 says, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And again in verse 30, when Jesus says, "Who touched my clothing?" The word touch that's used there is the Greek word haptomai. And it means to adhere to or to join oneself to another. So when this maiden reached out and grabbed hold of his garment, she was doing far more than just a human being reaching out and grabbing cloth. It was an expression of her faith and her desire for Jesus to make her whole and to do something that only Jesus could provide for her. She reached out in faith intentionally to join herself to Jesus. You see, the multitude failed to recognize that they had a need to be healed. The multitude was around him. The multitude was brushing up against him, but the multitude wasn't touching him. They were just brushing up against him. You say, "Pastor, what does that teach us?" Well, that brings us to our fourth and final thing, and that's the message. That's the message. What this passage shows us, I believe, is a visual illustration of the world that you and I live in today. You see, it may not seem to be, but despite what people think, being a Christian has become a very popular thing in our society. Now, there are those who are agnostic, there are those who are atheists who are very against anything that has to do with God. But yet there are those who view Christianity as not those that have made a choice to trust Christ, but as a movement, as some group to fit in with. And there are multitudes of people who wear Christian t-shirts, have Christian keychains, eat at Chick-fil-A and listen to K-Love that are just like people that are in the multitudes. They're around Jesus. They're around the things of God, but yet they've never touched him. They're around him. They're brushing up against him, but they've never been changed by Jesus. See, the ultimate difference between this maiden and the multitude is the maiden was changed by Jesus. The multitude just simply witnessed the change that Jesus made. See, if you look at this multitude, they saw Jesus. They heard Jesus. They could tell others about Jesus. They witnessed Jesus performing miracles. Jesus would go and heal Jairus, his daughter. And they saw her come out and they saw her healed. But Jesus never stopped for the multitude. When you read this passage of Scripture, Jesus never stops for the multitude. He gets off the ship. They gather around him. Jairus comes. He begins to follow Jairus. And these people are thronging him, but he never stops his journey for all these people who are brushing up against him. Jesus never one time, in the midst of him walking to Jairus' house, the Bible never records one time that Jesus said anything to anybody in the multitude. But when we look at this maiden, because she reached out intentionally and touched him and joined herself to him, in the midst of this throng of people who are around him, who are loudly wanting him to know them and to see him, he feels a tug on his garment, and immediately he stops on his journey, and he turns to his disciples and says, "Who touched me? Who touched my garment? Who touched my clothing?" You see the difference? The multitude couldn't get him to stop. The multitude didn't even get his attention. But one person who desired help from him, who desired healing and hope, reached out and touched him and stopped him right in his tracks. And he says, "Who touched me?" And he didn't just stop him and ask him the question, but then he turns and she, being embarrassed, she comes and falls down on his feet. Jesus never spoke to the multitude, but he spoke directly to this one who touched him. And he not only spoke to her, but the Bible tells us in verse 34 that he blesses her. Verse 34 says, "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Do you see the vast difference between just brushing up against him and just being around him and accompanying him versus reaching out, understanding your need of him and taking hold of him and joining yourself to him in faith? If all you are in your life is just around the things of God, but you never reach out and put your faith in him, then he's never going to stop for you. He's never going to speak to you. But if you reach out in faith and say, "I have a need, I've got a problem just like this woman. I've got a problem that no doctor can solve, that no amount of money can solve, that no man, no psychologist, no psychiatrist, that there is no program that I can make better. I need something that only God Almighty himself can heal within me." And if you reach out by faith and say, "God, I can't do it, but you can, and I reach out and I'm tugging on your garment today to heal me," then you'll stop him right in his tracks. And he'll speak to you as one of his children. You see, the message today is this: being a Christian is not about attending church. It's not about being a moral person. It's not about cleaning up your act. Being a Christian is not something you evolve into. Being a Christian is not something where you say, "Well, you know, I didn't used to go to church, and I started going to church, and I just kind of became a Christian." No. When I ask you when your birthday is, you don't say, "Well, you know, sometime around in June, my mother started getting heartburn real bad, And you know, it just kind of, I don't really know it, I just kind of came into existence." No, you say, "Well, my mother became an expectant mother, and 9 months later, guess what? She started having real bad pains, and my daddy ran her to the doctor and hid in the closet because he had never seen a side of her like he had seen that day. And then the doctor finally knocked on the door and said, 'Dad, it's okay to come out now. The beast has calmed down. Here is your baby.'" And you know what? That day you were born. There was a day when you weren't. Then there was a day when you were. That's what it means when you get saved. There was a day when you were lost without Christ, headed to hell because of your sin. There was a day I was lost without Christ, on my way to hell because of my sin. And then there was a day when I came and I knelt and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive my sins, come into my faith and be my Savior. And that day I trusted Christ. I was born again in that moment. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what happened with this woman. She was there and she was trying everything and spent all she had. But when she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, it wasn't 6 weeks later, it wasn't a year later, but instantly the Bible says that she felt something different. Jesus changed her. It says, and straightway the fountain of blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Becoming a Christian is about recognizing our sickness of sin and reaching out by faith and touching Jesus so that he can make you whole. And when you do, he'll make you whole immediately. So the message today is this: where are you today? Are you part of the multitude? And you can see Jesus and you can hear me preach about Jesus, and you can hear the choir sing about Jesus, and you may have a Christian t-shirt, and you may have a Christian keychain, and you may eat at Chick-fil-A and listen to K-Love, and it may be the greatest thing in the world, But has He ever changed you? Or are you like this little widow woman? This little maiden over here? And you can think back to the day that you reached out and you took hold of His garment and He made you whole and you trusted Him as Savior. You see, the sad thing about the multitude and the maiden is this. They were both in the same proximity of the power of God. They both had opportunity, equal opportunity to reach out and be made whole. But the multitude didn't, and the maiden did. It's just like those two farmers. Both of them walked on the ground that could provide the wealth that they both desired. One of them didn't see the wealth and sold it and went off searching somewhere else. But one farmer took the time and said, I wonder what that is at the bottom of that stream. And he reached down and took hold of the wealth that was for him. Beloved, Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose the third day for you. And there's not a man or woman in this room or a man or woman who will listen to this message online or anywhere else that it may be broadcast. There's not a man or a woman that doesn't have the same opportunity. If you'll reach out in faith, Jesus will make you whole. But if you bypass that and you sell that and go looking for peace and joy and happiness somewhere else, you're going to end up just like that first farmer. You're going to spend your life looking for something you'll never find. You'll be broke, worn out, and in desperation. And you'll die never having obtained the thing that you desire. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, let today be the day you reach out in faith and take hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer.